Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. We're taking time off today on this Memorial Sunday from our studies in the book of Matthew to, I pray, encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I want to focus on three verses of Scripture and then just give you a quick overview of this chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. And why this middle section of this chapter is so very, very important to the Christian. Notice, please, beginning at verse 11. Wherefore, say that next word, please. Remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that by which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray this morning as we've gathered together on this weekend of remembrance of our nation's past and those who have given their lives in the preservation of freedom. I pray that we might remember the one who gave his life to give freedom and liberty, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Shed his blood on Calvary, not because he was guilty of any sin, for he was the sinless Lamb of God, the perfect one, but nonetheless loved us and shed his blood for us that we might know freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the confines of this world. Liberty to be able to go in and go out and find pasture. To be able to serve Thee. To live our lives in accordance with Your holy and precious Word. Lord, I pray that we might remember what we've been delivered from and that we might remember the One who did it. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I used to collect the old Reader's Digest books from many years ago. I don't even know if they still do anymore. I've not subscribed for many, many years. But in one of the condensed Reader's Digest readers in 1984, there was a story by a man by the name of P.G. Wodehouse, and it was entitled, America, I Like You. America, I Like You. And he goes through and he basically tells the stories of America's past, some of our heroes, some of the ones who were instrumental in the founding of our nation, those who have been instrumental in preserving our freedoms. And it's very interesting, about middle of the book, around page 113, there's a story that he records of an instance that took place in his life when he lived in England. He's originally from Great Britain, was living in the United States at the time. But whenever he was living in Great Britain, he went out to the British Parliament, which is right along the Thames River, and there was a member of Parliament standing there. And this elderly gentleman walks up to this conversation that's being had between P.G. Wodehouse and this Parliament member. This elderly man, very distinguished and tall, walks up. And he introduces himself, gives his name, and he hands a whole stack of paperwork to this member of Parliament who represents his region. And he says to him, I'm an elderly man who has been caused to be confined to a sanitarium. This is my day out. And the reason that I am there is because my relatives have paid someone to declare me to be insane, and I need you to take up my cause and get me delivered from this situation, and gave all that paperwork to him. And the man stood there before him, and so the member of Parliament, who was quite taken with the presence of this very tall man, said, I will read your material. I will get back to you. And so the member of Parliament turned back to P.G. Wodehouse, and all of a sudden, there was this swift turnaround of that elderly man, and he kicked that member of Parliament right in the backside. The member of Parliament said it was so hard he thought his spine would go up through the top of his cap that he was wearing. And the elderly man straightened his top coat, and he looked back at that member of parliament, and he said, "Don't forget." The member of parliament didn't forget. Now, what did it take to help him to remember? As he was going back into that, I'm sure he was reading quickly over the material. Because that elderly fella had put his boot in his backside and said, "Don't forget." Now, I want you to think for just a moment here. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 is putting a boot in our backsides to help us to remember some important things. And I'm not trying to diminish at all what the Word of God is saying here, but God sometimes does that to His children, and I'm thankful for it. Whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. He has to take His heavenly boot and put it in our backside sometimes. You know why? Because we're careless. We're careless. We get into these little situations where we just trundle along in life. We're just going along our way, doing our thing, not thinking, not caring what God has done for us. In our introduction this morning, God, He is the Lord. Make a memorial service to that truth. Why? Because we are soon separated from our memory of what Jesus Christ has done for us, what God has done for us. The previous verses 1 through 10, tell a story about what you and I were like before Christ saved us by His grace. What does verse 1 said? We are dead in trespasses and sins. That was our condition, dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord Jesus comes along in the following verses here. Skip down, please, to verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Boy, there's something to be reminded of. Oh, we all want to have a part and a role in it, don't we? I want to be able to do something, God. Well, He saves you by His grace apart from your work. And you better thank God for that. You better remember that. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He's given a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what Jesus Christ has done. He's delivered us from our trespasses and our sins. And He's created in us a work of ministry and service. He's done a work in our hearts and lives. And what are we to do? We're to serve Him. And then we come to verse 11, where we read, "Wherefore remember." Remember. You know, you would think, well, those previous verses are just so full of grace and truth and wonderment, that we which were dead in our sins have been quickened together with Christ. How could one forget that? Let me just say this. It's very easy when you let the world in and let it dominate your thinking. That's how it happens. You let the culture dominate your time and dominate the way you live your life. And it separates you from the Word of God. Separates you from time in the Word of God. I want to tell you something. Coming into summertime, don't have the regular schedule like you had before, perhaps, students, children, young people. Don't have that regular schedule of getting up early in the morning, headed off to school. What you going to do with your Bible time? You're going to get tossed to the side? You know what's going to happen? You're not going to remember. You're not going to remember. Interesting Greek word, the word remember there. It means to purposefully determine to recall and to honor. Now this is the point of this particular word. rather large Greek word. It means to determine not only to remember, but to honor that which is being remembered. What has he talked about in the previous 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2? He's talked about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in behalf of sinners. Wherefore, remember. Why is it so hard for us to remember? I remember many, many years ago, right after I got out of college, it was about 1988, 89, somewhere around in there, one of my college roommates, my first year there, was passing through, and he said, "Todd, I want to meet you. I want to meet you. I'm going to be coming through sometime." This is before cell phones, by the way, and all the things. It was just, you know, regular landline phone. He said, "I want you to meet me. Is there a restaurant?" And me being, you know, the big spender, I said, "McDonald's. I'll meet you at McDonald's." Okay? Guess who forgot? I did. The day went on. About 5 o'clock that night, I realized I had forgotten to go down and meet that guy. We'd set a time to go down there. And, of course, no cell phones and stuff. He just went on his way on his trip. So I didn't have his phone number. I didn't know. He was calling from a payphone at the time, so I had nothing. About a year or two later, he calls up here to the office and says, "Can I speak to Todd Brainerd?" And I, first thing I did, I started apologizing profusely. I said, "I was supposed to meet you at McDonald's." And he said, "Todd, I wasn't there either." I beat myself up for 2 years about that I had forgotten. It's still in my mind. I don't know about you, but I have this thing about I've got to be on time. I've got to be early. It was put into me when I was little, by my parents. But there's just something in me, and I don't want to forget something. I constantly, one of my prayer requests, every day, throughout the day, "Lord, don't let me forget something that's important. Let me forget the things that aren't important, and let me remember the things that are important. So I don't forget to do something." I beat myself up for 2 years, and he said, "I wasn't there either." I got on I-10, and I was cranking along, and by the time I remembered, I was almost to Tallahassee. And all I could think about was you sitting there at McDonald's. And I told him, I said, "I wasn't there at McDonald's because I forgot too." Now, I could have just made up a story, but yeah, I sat there in the corner over there sipping coffee. And the waitress kept coming up. Can I help you?" "No, I'm waiting on my friend. I'm waiting for him to come." I couldn't do that. I'd be lying. I told him, I said, "I forgot too." And he hee-haw laughed on the other end. And we talked for a good while on the phone and got caught up on the years. But I beat myself up because I forgot. Let me ask you something. How important is Jesus Christ and what He's done for you? The Bible says remember. Not only remember what He did, but honor what He did. To honor it and to appreciate it. You know, you never maintain a position without crusading for it. Remember that. John Ashbrook often said that. It's one of my favorite sayings that I keep in mind. You cannot maintain a position without crusading for it. You cannot remember unless you repeatedly remember. Get the point? You got to repeatedly, you got to crusade for it. You got to crusade for Jesus Christ, the one who redeemed you. Why do you not speak to that person at work about their soul? Because you're not crusading for Jesus Christ. Why did you not take time on the phone the other day when you were talking to a loved one that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ or personal Savior? Instead, spent the whole time talking about, you know, what we're going to do for this and what we're going to do for that, but never a word about Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you're not crusading for Him in your life. In order to maintain a position, think militarily. I'm going to maintain that hill. I'm going to keep the enemy from taking this hill. What have I got to do? I got to crusade for it. I got to fight with every ounce of my being for that hill to keep it. And our problem is this, folks. We don't remember because we're not crusading for Him. We got something else that's more important. We got other things that are more important. You say, well, family is important. Yes, family is important. But do you want to see that family in heaven? Who do you have to crusade for? Jesus Christ. To try to reach as many of them as possible. You see, there are some things that are just more important, and there are things that need to be remembered. Let's go on here for just a moment. Sometimes we need a kick in the pants to help us remember something important lest we forget it. And this is what this verse is. Verse 11 is a kick in the pants. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh, made by hands. Now what is he describing here? The interaction between the Gentiles and the Jews. What were the Gentiles known as? The uncircumcision. Who were the Jews known as? The circumcision. And Gentiles over here, you had no part in what God was doing with the Gentile. God gave to the Jews covenants, many covenants, special covenants. Israel was God's chosen people. And you Gentiles, that's us, you Gentiles, you were the uncircumcision. You remember that? That's the picture. That's pre-Christ. That's pre-grace. That's what our standing was. We were without the covenants. We were outside. Our blessing depended upon Israel's blessing. We were outside. As long as they did right and were honoring God, then we were blessed. But when they failed, the nations did not have an adequate witness for Christ. The nations did not have an agent that would tell them of the greatness of God. And Israel failed miserably. But then grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 tells us. And He made a way. And the epistles talk about how that God now reaches, not with the agency of Israel to reach a lost world with the gospel, but now through individuals. Gentiles, you remember what it was like outside the covenants? Remember what it was like? Remember. Remember. Then he goes on, even deeper here in this verse. By which is called the circumcision of the flesh, made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise. Aliens and strangers. Remember that? Remember before Christ made a way for us, having no hope and without God in the world? You remember that? You say, well, I'm supposed to forget those things which are behind and press forward to the upward calling of God. Understand, please, what the Lord is saying here through the Apostle Paul in the pen of inspiration. He's not saying, remember every sin that you committed, is he? No, remember the state of being that you were in. That's what we're to remember. We're not to remember the sin which doth so easily beset us. We're to cast aside the weights and the sins which easily beset us. But there is a remembrance of what that former state was and what we've been delivered to. Remembering. Remembering what our former state was and the person who has brought us to a new state. A new state of being. Notice this, please, as we continue. Verse 13. But now in Christ. Probably some of the most beautiful words, but a conjunction of contrast. This is what you were. You were the uncircumcision. You were without hope. You were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. You were outside the covenants. That was your state. But, aren't you thankful for conjunctions? Well, they make a difference. You know, you can have Bob and Sue. Alright? And I get emails every week from Bob. He sends me pictures that he takes and so forth like that. And he talks about he just can't make it without Sue Ann. Sue Ann has to remind him, make sure you attach the photo to the email. And the reason he said that is because I've gotten a lot of her. I replied, I said, I appreciate the email, but there were no pictures with it. Oh, I forgot to attach it. Sue! All right? You think about, there was a time where it was just Bob. There was a time that it was just Todd. Now it's Todd and Beth. How important is that conjunction? That connective word? It's important, isn't it? Now it's Todd in Jesus Christ. Can you put your name there? You in Jesus Christ. Very, very important words here that are emphasized in this passage of Scripture. The Lord wants us to remember this conjunction. And then the word now. That's a time word, now. Have you ever stood in line at a fast food restaurant? Now get that, standing in line at a fast food restaurant. In other words, there's a line, which means what? It's not very fast. All right? Now, I was very appreciative when McDonald's put two places in there. Actually, there's three places you can order outside. But it all depends upon what? You can get your order in really quick because they got so many different places. You go to Chick-fil-A at noontime. It's really, really busy. They got people outside that's got those little market things. And they're taking your order and they're getting that in, but you still have to wait for your food, right? We've got some restaurants, not Gators, not talking about Gators. We've got a few fast food restaurants that are slow food restaurants. And you'll sit there and you'll stand in line waiting. Now, what did you order, sir? You don't know what I ordered? And you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And then when you get your order, it's not right. You love that part? Or the fries are cold? Or they didn't put the special herbs and spices on your hamburger that you ordered. They came back plain, and it was somebody else's hamburger. All right? Now is a very important word. But now, something's changed. Before, I was outside, but now I'm on the inside with Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Do you not only remember it, but do you honor it? Do you honor that memory? Very quickly, as we finish up here, I want you to notice this but now. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Picture yourself going to the airport to say goodbye. Brainerd said goodbye to Kyle yesterday. Now he's thousands of miles away down in Mexico. One moment he's standing right here beside me, giving him a hug. And by the end of the day, he's thousands of miles away down in Mexico City. But now, ye that were sometimes afar off are made what? Nigh. Isn't that a blessing? Is that not worthy of being remembered? Why is it so hard to remember important things? Just two quick things. Number one, it's because you've got something else on your mind. That's why it's hard. You know why we forget things? Because we've got something else on our minds. You and I have to battle the flesh. Got that old flesh, that old nature, that has a different purpose, has a completely different desire than the new nature. What do you have to do? You have to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ. You have to reckon. What does that mean? That means to determine that something changed and the old man is done. I reckon him to be dead and I'm alive unto Jesus Christ. Are you reckoning? Number one, you've got something else on your mind. And number two, there's something else more important. Not only that you got something else on your mind, but something else has risen in priority. Risen in priority. You know, there's just some things you don't forget. April the 15th is one of them. Oh, I forgot. Have you ever chuckled in front of an IRS agent? I just forgot. And they say, oh, okay, you forgot. It's all right, no problem. They'd be slapping the cuffs on you so fast. They'd send out Abigail. She's going to be an FBI agent here shortly. We're going to have to shape up. All right? You think about that. How good of an excuse is I forgot? Is that a good excuse? I don't think so. God has called us. Wherefore, remember. And the reason you don't is because you got something else on your mind and there's something more important that's taken the place of the remembering. I'm going to read these three verses again and I'm going to read them very slowly. And I want you to rejoice in your heart right now at what Jesus Christ has done for you. And I want you by His grace to determine, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to allow things to take over my thinking. I'm not going to allow something else that I consider to be important take the place of remembering Jesus Christ. I'm going to read it again, verses 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember, not only remember, but honor, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood. What erases the gap between you and God? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. I pray on this Memorial Day weekend that if you're not honoring the Lord and remembering the sacrifice that He made, you see, blood speaks of what? The giving of life to save another. The giving of life to save another. That's what your Lord Jesus Christ did for you. He bore your sin in His body on Calvary's tree and gave up the ghost. He bore our hell. He bore our sin. Is that not worthy of being remembered? Absolutely. On this Memorial Day weekend, don't forget to remember the sacrifice that individuals made so that you and I could sit in a church service on the last Sunday in May and be able to sing and pray and worship God according to conscience. Don't forget about that. But also don't forget what the Savior of the world did for you. Without that, all the deaths of all the soldiers and people who have given their lives is without meaning. Because you're going to die in your sin if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Make this a Memorial Day that has meaning. Not only to remember, but to honor what Jesus Christ has done for us. Wherefore, remember. Shouldn't have to have a kick in the pants. It should be intuitive within the heart to remember. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice this afternoon in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, on Calvary Street. We thank you, Father, for your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, you sent your only begotten Son to die on Calvary Street for us. Well, Lord, sometimes our memory gets a little dim, gets a little foggy. And the reason for that is that there's something else on our minds, something more important, we think. But in reality, it's not. Eternal things are much more important than temporal things. Everything we own and possess in this world will one day pass away. Everything that was owned by ancestors hundreds of years ago, most of it has passed away. Maybe a token piece of furniture here or there, or a ring, or a necklace. But by and large, it's all gone, because that's what time does. It takes away the temporal. But that which is eternal never ends. And I pray that you might jolt us, give us a good kick in the seat of the pants, and help us to remember, not to forget what Jesus Christ has done. What the past was, our former state, yes, but what Jesus Christ has done. But now we have forgiveness through Him. But now we have a home in heaven. But now we have deliverance from sin. But now we have the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, work in our hearts. May this Memorial Day be something special, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.